Trent Cotney and John Kinney are dedicated to helping the construction industry with legal, business, and safety challenges. Welcome to this week's episode of Law and Mortar.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, this is Trent Cotney. I'd like to welcome everybody to another episode of Law and Mortar. As always, I got John Kinney here with me. John, how are you doing?
Doing great. Always looking forward to being here and happy as always.
Yeah. Busy time as usual. You know, as we start heading into 2Q, we've got some, you know, big events coming up. Obviously, Roofing Day is going to be coming up here in just a few days. A lot of topics on the agenda. You know, they're still getting schedules set, but it's going to be packed. I know there's a lot of things that NRCA is doing, you know, both before, during, and after, which is kind of good. There's actually a historical tour that they're doing afterwards, which is kind of neat. Nice. Looking forward to being up there. I'll be up there Tuesday and Wednesday, so it should be good. But you know what's interesting, John, and kind of what I want to focus a little bit on with this episode is just a lot of political uncertainty out there, right? And don't care if you're, you know, blue or red, doesn't matter to me, you know, but the when you watch the news, it just seems both parties are self-destructing. You know, you've got, it doesn't matter whether it's Republicans voting against their own bills or it's, you know, Democrats, you know, with the far left, you know, running up against some centrist views. So based on kind of what you're seeing, John, and what you're hearing, at least on the consulting side, what do you think contractors should be aware of? And should they be concerned as we get closer to November, as far as, you know, instability and that kind of stuff?
Well, that's a great question, because this is the first time, and I agree with you, it doesn't matter what party you represent, or you believe in, or even if you're independent and you go either way, nothing really matters what your personal views are. That's your personal business. But I've never, and I've been around a while now, so I can say this. I go back and I can remember back a lot of administrations. I've never seen a Congress so paralyzed, and they paralyzed themselves. That's the amazing thing about it. So where does that put a contractor? The only concerns that I see in the forefront is honestly not which party gets what, because I don't think that's going to matter a whole lot. But I think the focus needs to be reaching out to your local representatives more, which I'm glad you're doing, you know, Roofing Day is involved in that. Somebody has got to listen to us, right? Not just us, the contractor, us, we, the people. Things got to start moving. You know, you got to be able to make decisions. Controversial or not, I am going to touch on immigration a little bit. To me, it's broken into two fields. There's illegal aliens, which needs to be taken care of. They're not immigrants or migrants, in my opinion. Migrants are legal people coming in, as we've normally had over the years. That's just how I see it. And the only thing I can say to everyone out there, construction absolutely depends on economical success based on a workforce. And traditionally, for 150 plus years, roofing has depended on whatever migration from whatever country it is in any given decade to fill our workforce. So that's not up to us about our viewpoints. I think that is really something our politicians need to handle. One way or the other, it needs to get done. And the other thing, I think you work well on a contractor. I see backlog. I do not see a problem. The political atmosphere to me, Trent, I know you'll comment on this in a minute, doesn't seem to be paralyzing the workload. I have no one that has told me we're running out of work, projects are being canceled. I'm still hearing the same thing. I can't get enough people. I got work I could do well into 25 or 30. Inflation is what it is. We got to deal with it. And we hopefully it keeps stabilizing and not go the wrong way, or interest rates might go up again. So those are the political things I think you need to look at as a business person. And what can you do? You can just be as prepared as you possibly can by strengthening how you operate your business and be prepared not only for the good times, but be prepared for the bad times.
You know, it's interesting, you know, when the immigration is obviously just a huge hot button issue, right? And I'm talking strictly from the construction perspective, right? I'll keep personal views to myself, but from a construction perspective, you're absolutely right. The industry depends on this labor. And, you know, all contractors would love to hire legal workers, right? And would love to have, you know, nothing but W-2s. But the reality is that, you know, the exponential growth of sub labor is a direct result of unsatisfied demand. and to a certain extent, open borders. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues with that as far as, you know, letting the wrong people in, safety, whatever. But fact of the matter is it's allowed construction to continue strong. And I agree with you. It doesn't matter where I go, residential, commercial, industrial, you know, contractors have a backlog. Construction is going to remain strong for the foreseeable future. You know, I just it is it's kind of interesting to me, the dynamic, you know, the push and shove between, you know, nationalism and immigration. And you know, I would like to see a pathway to allow workers in here that's a lot better than H-2B. H-2B is just a poorly designed mechanism to, and it's limited. You know, there's only a certain number of people that can come in, and we're having to compete with, you know, hospitality and agriculture and everything else. So it should be much more streamlined. It should be easy. They're going to come anyway, figure out a way to allow us to get workers in. And you know, have them pay taxes and have them do stuff, you know, help contribute to society. So
You got to have a solution. You can't just keep burying your head in the sand.
yeah, it's, and look, it's a real difficult issue. You know, I've been every time I go up to DC for roofing day or otherwise, it's always a topic, right? And nobody has the secret sauce because it is so politicized. It's like term limits. Everybody wants to talk about it, nobody's gonna do anything about it. Right. And it's one of those hot button issues. So, but it, from a realist standpoint, construction absolutely depends on that kind of labor, right?
Absolutely. Now, throw a little data at that. Everyone listening knows I'm the data guy. I love data. I live on it. 40% of the construction industry is undocumented workers, period. That is what it is, whether we like it or don't like it. That is not legal immigration coming in. So at some point, if we decide as a country our policy is to throw everyone out, you as in us as in the construction industry are losing our workforce by 40%. Okay? So you have to have solutions for this stuff. And I'm not, look, like I said, we're starting to stay, again, our own personal views doesn't matter, but the views are, one is absolutely you got to be a legal citizen. Absolutely. I don't know anyone that is going to, with a straight mind, that's going to tell you it's great to have illegal people in any country. That's period. But the point is, we're not allowing a system to be updated, like we talk about technology, to where we are currently. We've got to do what we got to do. If not, we are going to be at a standstill like we've never seen before. That's all.
Yeah, and you know, I'm fortunate in a way because I think America hates politicians more than lawyers. And you know, it our political system has changed dramatically over the last 8 to 10 years. You know, it's become a lot more cutthroat, a lot more dirty, in my opinion, on both sides. And I'm not, you know, signaling out either. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, and I expect politicians to be politicians, right? But I think we need to start coming together a little bit better and figuring out how do we, you know, maintain the greatness of our country. And you know, whether, again, whether that's blue, red, reaching over the aisle, whatever, you know, we need to figure it out. This polar opposition, this refusal to get anything done, this, it goes beyond gridlock, right? It's just complete ineptness. It's frustrating, I think, for many Americans out there to see it. And I know many of the politicians, you know, there are great politicians out there that are also struggling and trying to figure out how to work within the existing system. And, you know, there's some bad actors, right? And I just think we got to turn things around. I mean, at least that's kind of how I feel about it. I never thought I would say this, but I miss the days of old, you know, politics. I don't like what we're the sort of new, you know, new generation.
Oh, I think 80% of the US population honestly feels the same way, if not more. That's why they have a 14 or 12% approval rating. Okay. We can, you know, you got to look at, you've got an executive branch, you got a judicial branch, and you got that, you know, that branch there, your Congress. And they're not moving. But that being said, if I was a consultant brought in to look at them the way I do businesses now, they've been head in sand with problems for not the last 10 years. These have been coming on for 20, 30, 40 years. And no one wanted to attack them because it was always, well, we'll push it down because there's another election. I think we're coming to the time. There isn't going to be another election until we fix. I mean, there is. I don't mean it that way. I don't want anybody panic, but I mean we have to fix things. And I think there's enough great Americans, which I think most everybody is that's out there, to come together and get this done. And let's fix them like we go to fix our own personal contracting companies as we move ahead.
Yeah, and look, over the years, I've been fortunate to meet some really great people in politics. I think about Reid Riebel, who was transformative for NRCA and the industry, and a good friend of mine. I enjoy being able to continue to speak to him. I think about I had the opportunity to talk to Mike Johnson, when I was up in D.C. a couple of years ago. Great guy, and again, politics aside, I think there are people there that have the right mindset. I think there are strong intellectuals that are up there that are there to do the right thing. But I think party politics and moving beyond that and just figuring out a way to come together, we've got to do that, right? So tough conversations, John. This heavy stuff on a Friday, my man.
It is, but I think it's just like looking at a business, man. There's some decisions are tough, but they got to be made, and we're getting to that point because
I agree.
we operate off of labor. This never going to change in this end. And I've said this before, and sub labor is just someone else's crews, or it's labor that cannot be someone else's in-house labor. So eventually, all the sub labor will be taken up too. They can only do so much. It's just it. It's not infinite. It is definitely finite with a lot of restrictions around it. So we've got to come up with some solutions.
Well, look, you've convinced me, John Kenny, for president. You got my vote.
Oh, God, no.
All right, John. Well, it's your favorite time, my
All
man.
right.
So keeping on theme, which I always try to do, this one is for Jeremy. Jeremy says he pretty much is 100% sub labor at this point, which is very typical, right? We hear that across the board, a lot of residentials that way, and commercials moving more and more that way. He wants to know best practices for onboarding subs. So I'll give a brief thing and I'll kick it over to you. I like to have a subcontractor checklist, and the idea behind that is, you want to make sure that your admin people are checking boxes, right? Are you If you're in a state that requires your subs to be licensed, are you checking that box? Do you have, copies of their CGL and workers' comp? Are you, have you looked at the establishment page to see what OSHA violations they've had? Get that master subcontract agreement signed, all those bells and whistles that you need. And you create that subcontractor checklist that's part of your SOP for onboarding subs. That's, there's only so much you can do, but you do need to take that due diligence time up, especially if it's a new crew. John, from the business and the practical standpoint, what do you suggest?
Well, there's a couple things. You're absolutely right. What you said all has to be done. That's your front end stuff. First of all, when you're estimating, you have got to get hard quotes from them and know what the rates are going to be and priced out with the scope of work so there's no surprises or you will eat the cost. That's A number one. Number two is you've got to design your business operations differently with subcontractors. And the most successful way that I've seen it done out there that I recommend is you must manage your subs on a daily basis with a permanent one of your employees overseeing, especially on commercial work where you're there for a month, has to be on that job every day, not a floating person checking in now and then, because that's your job. So you've got to treat them more like they are your labor, right? They're putting their the labor being supplied legally as a subcontractor. You're more of a GC. General man, a construction manager type at that point, and you need to gear yourself that way. So that you have to get your infrastructure built out.
Sage advice, my friend. Well, with that, it brings us to the close of another episode. I believe this is 89, John. We're
It
marching
is.
on, getting
We
close to that
are.
100 mark. So I want to thank everybody for making us number one construction law podcast in the world. As always, we appreciate you. If you need to reach me, I'm Trent Cotney. You can reach me at social at Trent Cotney or trent.cotney@arlaw.com. John, how can they reach you?
Always out on social media. You can check me out there. Or easy way, direct email is jkenny@cotneyconsulting.com.
Great. Thank you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Take care now.